Morning. Okay, tune me back up like you had me last week. All right, I think they about got it. Good to see everyone. And may have a few visitors. It's not quite cold enough up north for all our folks to get back yet, but I'm praying about it. And we want it to get just a little cooler here, but maybe most of you don't, but I still remember how hot it was this summer, amen. Well, good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I want you to open your Bibles to the first book in the Bible. I ought to be able to find that one. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 12. And yes, I'm kind of tabling the book of John for a little bit. The world affairs kind of going to speak to them a little bit more. It's so much, you don't hardly know where to begin, where to start, where to stop, but say a little bit about it again this morning. And a lot of stuff in the news that raises a lot of questions, and we can ask more questions than we can answer. I like what Sister Molly was singing, "How big is God?" On occasion, and not too long ago, I ran into somebody that basically was saying, there's just too much in this world and universe and space for there to be a God overseeing it all. You wouldn't believe that could be an excuse, but it is sometime. You just don't know how big God is. And that song expresses it pretty well, really, really does. And yet, small enough to be in our heart. That's the key, isn't it? Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning on the Jew. The Jews in the news, have you noticed that? You know, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Now, I'm not against our missionary brethren saying we ought to send the gospel to the Jew first. That's not the context. The context is it came through them first. It ought to be kind of awkward, even though the other thought is okay, doesn't hurt anything. But we need to kind of realize that. The truth is the world can't get rid of the Jew, though they've tried through history. There was a king, I'm trying to think of his name. Haven't known too many kings, have you? Frederick the Great, king in, I guess, medieval times, somewhere around the Netherlands in that area. It's written more than one time, I've read it more than one time somewhere, that he called the preacher that was sort of like our chaplain in Congress, what would have been called the king's court, his administration. They had a full-time preacher like they do chaplains, you know, in the legislature and so forth. Apparently, he might have preached something the king didn't like, or maybe whatever. But the king called him in front of the whole cabinet and said, I want you to give me one word why the Bible is true. And the preacher, I don't know where he lived through it or not, but he cried aloud. He said, "The Jew, your greatness." One word, the Jew. The Jew has had God's hand on him, and the world can't deny that. So that preacher was right. We sometimes don't remember how the Jew actually got started. We have to go to the Bible, of course, for that. So we go to Genesis chapter 12, and we pick up on a man named Abraham. His name's still in the news. They're talking about the Abraham Accords now in the news, right? That was a good thing under President Trump. That thing was going great. In fact, much of the conflict and all the slaughter that took place now was because maybe Saudi Arabia was about to join the Abrahamic Accords and kind of join and recognize Israel and all that stuff. If you keep it up with the news, you understand what I'm talking about there. It says, though, here we have the beginning, basically, of the Jew. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, hadn't changed his name to Abraham yet. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, Abraham at this time, Abram here, was a Gentile. Do you understand God puts people, all the human race, into two categories, basically, in the Bible? The Jew and the Gentile. Now, Abraham would have been a Gentile at this point. And his father was a heathen worshiper, plural gods. Here we find that Abraham was called at about 60 years old, probably, to come on out of Haran or Canaan. And he was called to come out, but he stayed with his father another 15 years. And then he came out. So that, you'll read in the scripture, total about 75 years. So what we find here is the beginning, basically, of the Jew. Now, we look around today in the news, and we hear it speaking of a lot of... You won't understand the news today if you don't understand the Bible. You got to understand what the Bible says. That's the final authority on everything. And if you want to look at a nation that's been in the news and is a big problem today, flip over all the way over to the book of Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel and come up with about verse 38. We're going to see a list of a coalition of nations that's in the news, and behind the conflict that is building and growing, and they're all getting together on this right here. But in Ezekiel 38, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," verse 1, "Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog." I've preached on this many times. Most preachers have. I'm not going to go that way right now. "Chief prince of Meshach and Tubal," very likely the cities of Moscow and Tobolsky right here, not for sure, and "prophesy against them." But this is end time setting now. And says, "And thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back." Now, I want you to get this statement. "Put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth." Now, you know what? If you catch a fish, you catch him with a hook. He don't want to come get in the boat. You have to pull him. But the hook wins most of the time, right? Now, these nations have swallowed a hook, and God is about to reel them in to do exactly what he said they would do in the end time. Now, the list of the nations is right here. Drop down to verse 5 with me. Pick up the first one, Persia. That's Iran. They changed the name, what, less than 100 years ago to Iran. But Persia, Persia's in the Bible a lot, remember? King Nebuchadnezzar, remember where Daniel and the boys were taken prison into Persia, the Babylonian 70 years captivity, you remember? That was the nation, Persia. It's still a big landmass that you see over today. And then Ethiopia and Libya, all those are names we recognize. All of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all, and they argue a lot about where Gomer might be, but you can find out where all these tribes settled. If you go back to about chapter 10 of Genesis and trace them out, you can find it. It's a good study. Not all that important. But what we're seeing is Persia. We know now Persia is the big bully in the schoolyard. He is using proxies to attack Israel, but their whole plan is to attack America also. And we're doing the most foolish stuff. This is not politics. This is just craziness. We're sending money to both sides of the conflict, our money. Why in the world are we sending another 100,000 men to Hamas? But we just did. Why in the world have we got $6 billion waiting extra for Persia to pick up and use when they want to? You say they put restrictions on it. It's only for humanitarian. I got a bridge I'd like to sell you if you believe that. Such a ridiculous stuff that you're hearing in the news today. But with all of that said, we're seeing with the proxies, so-called, and all that. You say, but the president just shot a missile over there, yeah, and hit some empty warehouses on purpose, a political stunt. That's all it was. They've hit us 13 times. We've got at least 20 Americans wounded. All right, I'm going to get off of that, but I just want you to understand how stupid the stuff is. I liked it when President Trump said, told Persia, you kill one American, and we're going to get you. They didn't until he got out of office. That's not a political commercial. That's a fact. And I like that. Also, what he done, he sent a missile over and took out their chief of the military, Soleimani or whatever his name was. That sort of got their attention. When we reveal the weaknesses, we are weak in America today, we're going to continue to have trouble. All right, that's enough on that. I want you to think about the Jew. Today we're surprised in America about the attack, the anti-Semitism, the attack on Jews is amazing. It is, really is. But it's not something new. It's not even something new in America. It's been simmering underneath for a long time, and it's now broke out into the open. And it's a sad case for us because the verse I just read, God said he would bless those that bless the Jew and curse those that curse the Jew. Now, we are making a choice today as a nation which one of those words we're going to be under, blessed or cursed. That's what's going on truly right now. Hitler tried to get rid of the Jews, but he wasn't the first one. You read the history, and almost every nation has a history of trying to get rid of the Jews. I mean, some thousands of them being killed at a time here and there. Real amazing. See, the symbol of Israel, you remember when Moses came up to the burning bush in the desert? What attracted his attention? He'd seen bushes burn before. But this bush burned, but it didn't burn up. That's the symbol of Israel. It burns, but it's not consumed. And Israel has been burnt through the fires, but they're not consumed. They're still here. Another picture of it is in the book of Daniel. Daniel, what, chapter 3, when the boys took into the fire furnace. But it didn't burn them. They came out. And the truth is, that's the nation of Israel being pictured. They're going to come through the fire. They're going to succeed. And you and I will be smart if we're on the right side, because that's God's side. Do you understand that this Bible, we wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the Jews? Almost every writer in this Bible was a Jew. Do you understand that God has used them? I've said recently, he uses them for his time clock. But he's used them to be the greatest blessing to the world. They are people that have been unusual. They have been outstanding. Oh, yes, a Jew needs to receive Christ. He's mixed up on who the Messiah is. And, yes, you can have a liberal Jew. You can have an atheist Jew. You can have any kind, just like you have any kind of Gentile, any of us. But as a nation, God has a plan, and he tells you to stay on the right side of it. You know, the Jew, if you look through his history, 4,000 years of it, the Jews had a culture a long time before Rome and Greece ever come on the scene, before Plato and Socrates ever got any notoriety. The Jewish prophets and the writers of the Word of God long existed. Israel was writing literature and masterpieces, really, before most nations even knew letters at all, even had an alphabet. If you go back and trace it out, you're going back to Genesis 12 there I just read, and you trace it through, and you'll find that the world has been blessed by the Jewish race. The literature, the Bible, what we have in the Word of God right now, and the Jews outlived their conquerors. They have been conquered. They have been different ones have tried to exterminate them. But they're still here. Of course, we think of Hitler. I wouldn't want to be Hitler now, would you? If you want to see Hitler now, you better have a good asbestos suit on. He tried to exterminate them, but it didn't work. I could name you several others that tried, but it did not work, and it will not work. Why it won't work is because God had a plan. And God's plan is going to finish just like he intended for it to. And it's really interesting, as we live in the day and time we do, that we see that plan coming together. But he used a nation. Do you know Israel was the one that taught other nations monotheism, which means mono means one, one God. The first of the big Ten Commandments, I shall have no other gods before me. You say, but the Muslims say there's one God. Yeah, their moon god. They chose that moon god out of all their many gods. You know, it's not the moon god. Then why do they have the crescent moon on the mosque? Allah was a moon god. And while Allah might be the word for God in Arabic, Muhammad chose the moon god. And God tells us, through the Jews it's preserved, the big Ten Commandments. First commandment, God wrote with his own finger, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So you can thank the Jews for the truth of that. That nation has been the witness to God down through histories and through history. Now, God had a plan. Listen, God gives, I believe he calls a man, I believe he uses a ministry, gives a man a ministry, but he can also call a nation, and he can use a nation, which he has done with Israel. And they were the race that produced the Savior. It is amazing to me today how that folks want to attack the Jews, but they want to worship the Virgin Mary. Who was she? She was a Jewish maiden, a virgin that God used to bring about the body that he would incarnate as Jesus Christ. And a lot of the enemies of God today don't even know what they're talking about when it comes to the whole truth of the matter. Now, to preserve and transmit the scriptures, that's why we have the Bible today. I just said a while ago, most of the writers, of course, were Jews. And they're the race that produced the Savior. Salvation is of the Jews. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 4 when he was talking with a woman at the well, and she brought up the thing, well, you know, I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing here talking to me as a Jew? Remember the story? And he said to her, he said, salvation is of the Jews. So for you and I to have had a Savior and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born again, to be saved and expecting to be taken up to heaven because God's going to present us sinless because his Son paid for our sins on the cross, all that, we can thank God for the Jewish race. And while they got mixed up and rejected the Messiah when he came the first time, and by the way, a lot of folks still mixed up on this. The Jews got mixed up on his two comings. He came the first time as a suffering servant, remember? But he had to come the second time as a reigning king. Now, he came the first time. He suffered and he died for our sins on the cross. We understand that. The Jews wanted, at his first coming, they wanted it to be his second coming when he would set up the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? They rejected him because they wanted him to come and set up the kingdom. They were mixed up. That's why they were teaching a false thing in the days of John the Baptist and the days of the earthly ministry of Jesus. They were teaching. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. They knew them well. And they saw the prophecies, but they believed it would take two men to fulfill the prophecies because they saw him coming as a suffering servant, but they also saw him coming as King of Kings to set up the kingdom. So they said, not one Messiah, but two. That's where you read in when they get confused and say, hey, here's the man that's the son of Joseph. No, we know it was not the son of Joseph, the spouse husband to Mary. The Joseph they're talking about was the Joseph of the dungeon that was put in prison. The Joseph, the young son of the Hebrew brothers that sold him into slavery. Remember that Joseph? You see, they said Messiah ben Joseph is coming. The word ben in Hebrew means son. So Messiah, son of Joseph, is coming. They were looking for him during the time that they questioned John the Baptist about who he was. We were just in John, remember? Now, they were mixed up. They rejected Jesus because he didn't want to set up the kingdom. They were mixed up. The second Messiah was the one that was going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and set up the kingdom. Now, here's the interesting thing. They had the two comments mixed up. A lot of folks do today. Jesus came first as a suffering servant, sin sacrifice, to pay for our sins. Second time he's coming to put down all enemies and to rule and reign on planet Earth for 1,000 years. He'll have a Jewish kingdom under him then. That's what they wanted the first time. So they had their messiahs mixed up. John the Baptist was in jail. And he sent, remember, I think we taught this in John, he sent some of his friends to Jesus. Said, are you the one? He was saying to Jesus, are you the one or do we look for another? In other words, it's going to take two of you. Jesus said, let me tell you what I've been doing. Been healing the sick, been doing all. In other words, all the things he was supposed to do at his first coming. And he sent the message, don't be offended at me. Jesus fulfilled both. He fulfilled coming as a suffering servant, died on the cross. He's coming back as King of Kings. He was the two messiahs in one. And right now we're seeing things in the news build that's going to bring Israel to the place they recognize who the real Messiah is. That's what's going to happen. Now, we look around today and realize that this is a Jewish book, the Bible. It's a Jewish Savior. So when you hear all the anti-Jewish talk today, you better take it with a grain of salt. That's the race, that's the men, that's the people that God chose, as I read here in Genesis 12, starting with Abraham, and he's got a plan, and he's going to finish that plan. Now, the hatred through history and how real it is, and boy, it is kind of shocking that America is into it, seeing our big universities out in the street chanting from the river to the sea, the Philistines, that's what they are, but that's not what they call them. Palestine shall be free. You know, they got the rivers mixed up. If you'll get a map and look at it, there's the Euphrates River, and God gave Abraham the grant of land. If you get a map and look at it, He gave the grant of land all the way from the Euphrates River down to the Mediterranean Sea. That's what Israel's going to rule over in the millennial reign. Right now, Israel is a sliver of a little piece of country about the size of New Jersey. That's not the land grant that God gave to Abraham. But in the millennial reign, they'll take over that land grant. All right, I don't want to get into geography. I didn't do too good in school with it myself. But I'm just saying, I'm amazed when I hear that chant that the mobs out in the street here in America are chanting. They don't even know what they're talking about. It is really interesting how dumb the world is on the real facts. And you're going to get the facts out of the Word of God. And the land grant that God gave to Abraham will yet be ruled by the Jews, the Israelites in the millennial reign, following the tribulation period. Now, the hatred is very real. You know what the hatred of the Jew proves? It proves Satan is real. Listen, Satan is not just an evil force. He is a being, a created being that rebelled on God. And Satan is very, very real. We read in Revelation 12, I referred to that to you the other day when we was teaching, how that he persecutes the woman that brought forth the man-child. That was Jesus. And, of course, that's why he hates the Jews so much, is it's through the Jews that the Messiah came. What was the Messiah going to do? Genesis 3, he's going to bruise the devil's head. He's going to crush him. You read that in the book of Revelation. Yes, the serpent bruised his heel. And I'm not saying this for a fact, but on a literal sense, you can see the picture of it. When Christ died on the cross, crucifixion kills you first by choking you to death. You can't breathe. As long as a man has strength, he'll pull up to take a breath. But finally, when his strength is no more there, he'll collapse in his chest, in his diaphragm, to where he can't breathe. He'll die. At the same time, his heel, they had a little notch in the cross where the feet were nailed together. And the heel of Jesus rested on that cross. It bruised the heel of a man being crucified. That was just a literal picture. But of course, the devil has been after in the warfare with Christ from the beginning of Genesis 3:15 on, when God put the curse on him and told him that the woman's seed, who was the woman's seed? That's why the virgin birth is important. If Jesus wasn't virgin born, he wasn't God. Because all men had sinful blood in them, and the blood comes from a man, it's sinful. But the virgin birth was not a man's blood, it was God's blood. And that makes Jesus the only one, unique one, the sinless one, of course. Now, the hatred through history, all the way back in their past, you find that hatred of Satan running through. And now he's able to come out in the open, even in a country that has prided itself through the years of being a Christian nation. All of a sudden, we're seeing polls in America saying that more people are supporting the Muslims than supporting the Jews. That is sick, folks, and that is dangerous. With our own tax money, we're bringing over and paying for students to go to our universities and colleges to go out in the streets and riot against us. That's something pretty dumb about that. Very dumb. And even some of the professors out there in the streets marching with them. On top of that, we actually gave a visa permission for an Iranian to come and stand up at the podium in the United Nations this last week. United Nations is located in New York. Personally, I think they ought to empty those buildings out and put them some good use. Put a trucking company or something in there. Because we're paying the bill for that outfit. When I was over in Israel and talking to some of the Jews over there, I remember telling our guide, I said, you know what UN stands for? He said, what? I said, United Nuts. He said, that's pretty good. I always thought it was unusual nonsense. He's right, too. Amen. That's exactly right. And yet we pay the bills on it, give them the building, pay the expenses, and we got them in here. That guy come and stood at the podium there in the UN and threatened America and said, you will fill the fire. You go ahead and take side with the Jews and you take the war against Hamas, then you will feel the fire. Folks, I hate to say it, but he's probably right. Our political situation right now needs a backbone real bad. And we don't have it. And as long as we try to bribe and pay off and pay hostage ransoms, we're going to have trouble. And we are having it big time. But anyway, it proves Satan very real. If you want to go with me, go to Daniel chapter 10. I'm just kind of cherry-picking a few verses here. But in Daniel chapter 10, show you a story. Most of you remember what this is. Daniel's been in prayer. He's been praying a good long time, and he's not getting an answer to his prayer. I mean, days, 21 days to be exact, he's not getting an answer to his prayer. Now, I grant you, most of us would have quit by then, but he didn't. And in Daniel chapter 10, the third year of Cyrus, he was king of Persia. Notice verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. He has a pagan name given to him by the king. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, here he is praying and fasting 3 full weeks. That's 21 days. He said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. He says, and in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as it was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, we'll talk about that later maybe. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire. Boy, that's something to see that heavenly being, isn't it? Now, he said, I, Daniel, was alone. I saw it. There was a great quaking on those others that was around. And he said, he had no strength. I'm hurrying up here. Had a deep sleep come on him. But finally, you get down to about verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy word, but this, here's where I want you to see. But the prince of the kings, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, of what? Iran. Persia withstood me 21 days. Below Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, get a picture. Persia, that's Iran. That's the same landmass. That's the same spiritual beings that withheld Daniel's prayer that we're still fighting today. You need to understand this. There's a warfare going on between Satan and God. And here, a geographical location we call Iran today, Persia then, was hindering Daniel's prayer. You see the two sides fighting. 21 days, that's a pretty powerful being that could withstand. God wanted to answer Daniel's prayer immediately. And the answer was on the way, but he had to fight his way through the prince of Persia, of the prince of that kingdom. That's still the warfare. Now, who's the head nation right now? There's some others in the list. We can argue about Russia and China and others. But Persia right now is the one the devil is using big time. And it's not going to get better till it gets a little worse. And after it gets a little worse, finally, there's going to be that breakthrough. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you think about this right here, their past was to fight Israel. Now, as far back as 1936 B.C., that's, 400 years basically after the flood, going all the way back then into history, God called Abraham out and started this warfare of the blessing and the curse. Those that bless Israel will be blessed. Those that curse Israel will be cursed. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 12. And we study the land grant given there to the Jews, and that's what they'll rule in the millennial kingdom. Now, today, when you hear, like, for instance, I mentioned the UN a while ago, they're supposed to be representing, 170 nations. They took a vote this week over the issue of Hamas and Israel. And all of them voted against Israel except 14. And out of that 14, some of them abstained and did not vote. Now tell me where God's going to land on that. They're telling whose side they're on when they make a vote like that. So what am I saying? I'm saying what we're seeing in the news ought to excite us. If you're saved and you're excited about Jesus coming for those that are saved, you ought to be excited about it. You know, one of the biggest signs preachers have preached on for years and years was that the Jews would return to the Holy Land. Well, they had the declaration and was legally supposed to be able to come back into Jerusalem, but they only had half the city. You remember that? 47, 48. Then in 1967, the Six-Day War, and they fought their way through and took the Temple Mount. All that was exciting. I thought we were out of there that week. I mean, I was teaching Sunday school then, been saved a while, and I was saying we're going. And I'm still disappointed we didn't. But I'm still saying it. And I got more evidence and more signs and more reason to believe it right now than ever before. Now think about it. The tribulation period has been identified in the Bible. Ooh, that can't be right. A modern clock. All right. I can't believe it either, but Jesus is coming. He's not going by that clock. He'll have, in his time, he'll take time and he'll have plenty. So we're in a window of opportunity now because the tribulation period is coming, but it couldn't come until Israel was back in the land because they got to go through the trib. That ought to tell you something. They're back, the trib's coming, the rapture's coming first, and I'm going to finish this lesson up there. All right, let's have the report. Take me with a grain of salt sometime. All right, 872. I guess that's not bad. Look less than that to start with here this morning.